You're listening to the weekly teaching podcast of Willamette Christian Church in Westland, Oregon. We hope that what you hear today inspires you to laugh, question, think, and grow. If you'd like to connect with us even further, hit us up online at willamette.cc or shoot us a direct message on Instagram or Facebook. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy this week's episode.
Throughout your life, you have different emotions and feelings and different seasons that you go through, and there's always a song for that. There's that time where you can go and listen to it. And so this morning is Lament. If you're a guest with us, you're already going, really? This is the week that I showed up? Like, this is the topic today? Come back next week. It's praise. It's going to be much happier and much more fun. It's going to be a great, great time as we're going to cover praise next week. But this morning is Lament. And before I jump into that, as many of you know, last week we covered the Songs of Wisdom. And Steve Adams was here as a guest with us and did an amazing job walking us through that sermon. And I just wanted to say thank you to everybody that calls Willamette home, because one of the things that Steve mentioned to us is just how welcomed he was and how everybody went above and beyond in hospitality. And as you know, one of our core values here is radical hospitality. And so that wasn't a surprise to me that he felt really welcomed and that everybody just extended hands of honor and grace to him. And so thank you for doing that, for being who we as a staff know this church to be. But I also want to invite you to just continue to pray with us. As we're praying, our elders and leadership team are praying still and going, God, what would you want? Steve and his wife Stephanie are praying about what God would have, because our desire in all of this, as we look for the lead pastor of this campus, would be, God, what are you up to? Holy Spirit, where are you leading us? And so I want to just encourage you to continue to pray with us through this season. But this morning, we're going to jump into lament. And so I don't know about you, but when I think about a lament, like the feeling or expressing sorrow and grief and the pains of life, one of the first places that my mind goes is to a bad breakup. Right, if you've ever been through a breakup, then you know what I'm talking about. That moment where your heart is just torn in two. For me, the worst breakup that I've ever had happened my senior year in high school. I was dating this gal. We'd been dating for 7 months. The only other woman that I've ever said I love you to, except for my wife. And so as much as an 18-year-old can know what love is, man, I was in love with her. And she destroyed me. She just broke up with me one day. I didn't see it coming. I didn't know how it was going. And it wrecked me. And if you hear me telling this story and you're like, does his wife know about this? Yes. Yes, my wife knows about it. We've talked. We're good. This is like 15 years ago. I recovered. But it was just this heart-wrenching thing to go through a breakup that just can destroy you. After she broke up with me, I was driving away from her house, and I just didn't, the world was spinning, and I didn't know how things were going to go on, and I didn't know what was going to happen. And I saw a friend of mine, a mentor, walking out of his apartment, and I just pulled the car over and got out of the car. He could tell something was wrong. I went up and just embraced him in a big hug, put my face into his shoulder, and I sobbed and wept like a little baby. Because I was in a moment of lament. And I didn't know what to do and how to go on. So I did what every 18-year-old does. I go home and I found a song to reflect how I was feeling. I found a song that could put into words, into emotions, and into music the things that I felt. And maybe you've done something similar in a difficult season. Because sometimes when we feel deeply, music helps us to feel better. And so depending on your generation and how old you are, there were maybe different songs and eras that you used to help you get through a season of lament. And maybe they sounded a little bit like this.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And she's always gone.
Some of you feel this one. Maybe you're a little bit younger than that and you're more of a P. Diddy fan.
Every move I make, every single day, every time I pray, I'll be missing.
This was mine. This was mine.
Nobody said it was easy. No.
Listen, you laugh, but I'm about to cry right here. Like, you're watching 18-year-old Grant come out in this moment. I could just start to weep. Coldplay's Scientist got me through that season. I did. I went home and I listened to that song over and over and over. I watched the music video ad nauseum. And preparing for this sermon, I was like, I'm going to go watch the music video again. And I sat down and I started watching it and I started crying. And I was like, seriously, I promise I'm over this breakup. Like, why? Because it just takes you back to that spot in that season that you were in. And I went and was reading the comments on YouTube under it. And there were people going, oh, this song, it got me through the death of my mom. It got me through a cancer diagnosis. It got me through so many things because that's what music does. You see, that's one way to lament. Like one way that you can lament is by just grieving and crying and letting it out. But you all have been through the grieving process, right? Sometimes it doesn't make sense. You're happy and you're going, can I be happy? And then you're sad again and you're crying and then you're angry for no reason, which is why sometimes there's other songs that help you through. And there's a different kind of lament song that we really enjoy as well. And they sound a little bit more like this.
Lord, now go. Walk out the door. Just turn around now. You're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who cried?
Maybe you're a Queen Bee fan. Right? This is like, come on. I'm good. I'll get over this. And of course, what would be a lament sermon without our favorite breakup artist? Right? I mean, I'm just saying. You can't have a breakup song without Taylor Swift. I mean, it's just... it's a part of it, right? Because this is what we do in seasons of lament is you go like in one moment you can be crying like crazy and then the next thing you're like, no, I'm good. I'm going to go. You go talk to your friends, talk to mine. We're not, this is done because we go in and out of these emotions. And the thing about it is they're all good for us. That if we would just not be afraid of the lament, if in these seasons you're in, you would just press into it. Instead of trying to bury it and go, no, 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 we don't cry. We don't deal with this. I don't like these emotions. So how do I keep them down? If instead we would pull them out and say, God, I'm going to bring these to you. God, I want to be honest with you in all that I am feeling. And maybe it's a bad breakup and you can tell the story about it, but maybe it's that you've lost a job recently. Maybe it's that you don't enjoy the job that you have and you're not where you thought you would be in your career and you need to lament that. Maybe it's the loss of a friend or maybe it's a friend that you thought was your friend but now you found out they're not and things have changed and you don't know what to do with that. Maybe it's a business partner that you thought you were going to get in and things are going to be great but now the business is falling apart. You see, anytime there's change, there's a loss and there's pain with that. And so often we feel like we're not supposed to take that to God because that's admitting weakness and admitting that life is messy. But what you're going to see in the Psalms is that David comes and he goes, God, here is all of who I am. God, here's all my emotions, all of my things. Here's the mess of my life. God, I want to bring this to you. When you get into the Psalms, you'll see that 75% of them are laments. And some of them are David crying and weeping and saying things like, my bed is soaked because of the tears that I've been crying all night. And then other times you find him where he is just crying out and yelling at God and saying, God, I'm in a difficult, hard circumstance. Why am I here? What is going on? Why can't you do something about this? See, David continues to take all of it before God. But what you'll also see is that David gives us the key of getting through our lament seasons. And the key is to never lose hope. No matter how dark or how bleak or how horrible things look, you can always have hope. Now, let me define hope for you because see, often our society defines hope as this thing that's wishful thinking. It's optimism about the future that I'm wishfully thinking. I'm just hoping that things get better. I'm hoping that my circumstance goes away. I'm hoping they don't do that again. And it's wishful thinking. It's not certain. It's optimism. I can't guarantee that it's going to happen. That's the way we so often use the word hope. That's not biblical hope. Biblical hope is expectant believing. It is knowing that we serve a God that has nothing that surprises him. That we serve a God that sees your pain and sees your grief and sees your sorrow and sees your frustration. And there's a God that says, hey, I can handle that. Would you trust me with it? That's an expectant belief that God can come through. And even if that means the pain stays, I can still trust that God has something to teach me in the midst of it. That's a different kind of hope. That's the hope that you're going to see with David this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Psalm 142. That's the psalm that we're going to look at. And let me give you a little bit of a background of what's happening here. Because David is, see, we get into the psalm, he's going through a really difficult time. It's not a bad breakup or anything that's happening. What's happened is David has been anointed to be the next king of Israel. But currently there's a man named Saul that is the king, and David's not willing to take the throne. He's going to wait for God's timing on that. Saul is actually David's brother-in-law. You've got family that is currently king, and David is waiting to be king, and Saul decides that he doesn't want David to be king, so he tries to kill him. He is unsuccessful, and so David flees and becomes a fugitive and runs for his life. And at one point during while he's fleeing, he goes to a town, and he gets to that town, and there's a temple there, and there's 85 priests in the temple. And they give him some food and some shelter and some water. They pray for him, and then they help him escape Saul. And so David goes, and he's hiding in a cave. Word gets back to Saul, the current king, that these priests have helped David out. So he gets an army, and he comes to the same town, and he asks them, did you help David? And because the priests fear God more than they fear man, they look at Saul and they say, yes, because we believe that he's the anointed one that is to be the next king. And it was as a result of that, Saul has all 85 of them killed. So David is on the run from a man that has no regard for who God is, no regard for human life, and is so set on destroying David that he will kill anyone in his path. It's with this that David finds himself in a cave, crying out to God because of the difficulty of his circumstance. And yet he finds the hope of a God that loves him. Let's look at Psalm chapter 142, starting in verse 1. Here's what David says. I cry out to the Lord. I plead for the Lord's mercy. I pour out my complaints before him, and I tell him all of my troubles. The first thing that David does is he cries out. He pours out his complaints. Now, this is, if I'm honest, a part that we're really good at. Like, we're good at the complaining and pouring out our complaints part. Like, I'm good at coming to my coworkers around it, maybe like the water cooler, right? Whatever that looks like in your office, and coming around and going, hey, let's complain a little bit. Let's cry out. Here's the difficulty of my life. Like, let's talk about how bad management is and the decisions they're making and what's going on. And I love to lament and to cry out to my coworkers around me. Or I like to go to my spouse and go, man, here's what's happening. And gosh, can you believe that they would do this and they would say that? And can you believe the neighbors and look at the way that this is happening and why aren't they putting my kid in the game more? And I love to cry out in that moment. Or maybe it's your spouse that's driving you nuts. And so you have your little people around you, the men or the women, that you can come and you do the spouse bashing thing and you cry out to one another and pour your complaints out. Or you call your mother-in-law or your mother and you go, can you believe that he did that again? Oh my gosh, here's what's happening. And we love to do that. We have 24-hour news cycles where basically both sides are just complaining about the other side all the time. Like, we're good at this. The problem is all of our complaints and pouring out, it goes out, it doesn't go up. What David does is he goes up with it first. He cries out to the Lord because David understands that God is the one that can do something about it. He can't control what Saul's doing. He can't control Saul coming after him. He knows that God can do something about it, and so he cries out. What would it look like for us when we're in these difficult times and we feel like we need to lament the loss of something, no matter how big or how small, rather than going and complaining to other people, if we would instead go and cry out to God first? Take our complaints to him. Say, God, here's what's bothering me right now. Here's what I feel grief over. Here's what I feel pain over. I don't understand what is happening. And we cried out to God. We said, God, we're going to find our hope in you. And David's not doing this casually. He's stuck in this moment because he has the emotions that he has and they are overwhelming him. Look at this next verse. It's exactly what it says. When I am overwhelmed, you alone know the way that I should turn. David goes to God and he says, God, I've got all the feels right now. I am overwhelmed by this. All the negative feelings, the fear and the confusion and the frustration and the anger and the distrust and the anxiety of life, it's all here. God, I am in a cave and there's a man out there with an army who is trying to kill me. I don't know what my future holds. It is uncertain. I don't know what's going to happen. God, it overwhelms me. Maybe you've been in that place in life before, where you're so overwhelmed with what's been happening that you don't even know if you can get out of bed tomorrow. You feel stuck. You feel trapped. That's David here. But he's not hiding from it. He's being honest and transparent and vulnerable with God about it. He goes, God, I am completely overwhelmed with this. And so what does he need? God, you alone know where I should turn. He goes to God and he says, so God, would you tell me what to do next? Would you give me the next turn? God, this is too big for me. I can't even think straight. I don't know what's going on in my head right now. I don't know how I can ever overcome this. So God, would you give me relief? Would you help me to see where to turn next? You know, often when we're in those seasons of sorrow and lament, the hardest thing to do is to get out of bed. And so what you have to do is say, I'm going to do the next right thing. Tomorrow I'm going to wake up and I'm going to brush my teeth. And if I do that, it's a successful day. Okay, then I'm going to go and I'm going to do some grocery shopping. If I can just do the next thing to just continue to work through and continue to find the next right thing to do. And that's what we would tell you to do in these seasons. And it's David's crying out to God and he's going, God, would you tell me what to do? God, give me my next turn. Help me to see what's going on, because what David understands is that he needs help. The problem is too big for him, and so he's crying out to God and he's asking for help. I was talking a while back to my counselor about this, and as we were just kind of digging into it, he said, you know, I see kind of two types of people that come to me. He said, some, they walk in and they're not ready to receive help yet. They're not willing to admit that they need it. They're just here. They just kind of want to talk about their problems, feel better about it, and move on with life. And he said, those are some of the hardest clients, because they're not willing to say, I need help. They're not willing to work through it and to be honest and vulnerable with me about what's going on. They're still trying to hide things. He goes, the best ones are the people that come in and they're not trying to hide anything. They come in honest and vulnerable and overwhelmed, and they're going, yeah, I can't do this. I need someone else to help me. He goes, those are the clients that I see great work, and they move forward and they can come through the difficult things they're going through. And that's where David's at. David's going, God, I am overwhelmed and I need some help. So would you tell me where to turn? Would you give me some direction? And then he goes, and God, there's some specific things I would like your advice on. There's some specific things that I need. Here's what he says. Wherever I go, my enemies have set traps for me. I look for someone to come and to help me, but no one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares a bit what happens to me. He goes, God, here's what's bothering me right now, is I've got two groups of people and they're both hurting me in my seasons of lament in a way that I don't understand. The first group, God, they're my enemies. And they're the people that are maybe in your life too. They're not Saul. I mean, Saul's got an army. There's an actual enemy here, but they're people, right? They're the people that are aggressively coming after you. They are attacking you. They are trying to hurt you and to destroy your life. Maybe for you, that's somebody in your family. You've got a family member that you're like, yeah, I just feel like they are dead set against me. Maybe it's a business partner that you're going with, and now all of a sudden you've got a deposition that you're having to deal with because of that, and you're going, man, I feel like I have people that are against me. Maybe it's coworkers. These people that you should be working alongside, co-working, moving in the same direction, but you work in such a toxic environment that you go to work and you're going, I don't know what to do. I feel like I have to walk around on eggshells all the time, because I feel like in my business that my coworkers have set traps for me. And if I say the wrong thing or if I do the wrong thing, they're going to go, ah, gotcha. Gotcha. Now we found you. You can see you've got enemies that are working against you. Maybe it's a competitor. They're a competitor of yours in business, and you're trying to do things with integrity, and they're cutting corners to undermine your profit so that they can get ahead. And you're looking at them going, they are dead set against me. Maybe it's your kids. It's that moment when you're up and they're supposed to be in bed, and they come downstairs again and again and again, and they all share a room, and you're looking at them going, y'all are plotting against me. I know it. You have schemed against me. We all know that we feel those moments, but we can go, yeah, there just seems to be an enemy that's coming. It's aggressively after me. But the second group of people, the second group, they're passively against him. Look right there, it says, no one gives me a passing thought. No one cares. David goes, yeah, I've got some enemies that I feel like are actively against me, but there's other people that are passively against me. Nobody cares. No one's even giving me a thought. I mean, I'm really, there's no one to help me. No one gonna come alongside me. I am all alone in my grief. And you've been there if you've been through grief. You've had the funeral and everybody comes and tells you how sorry they are. And then you wake up the next day, everyone else goes back to work and you're alone in your grief. And you're going, God, what is going on? Where did everybody go? No one even cares about me anymore. And if they're not even that, maybe they're just indifferent. They just don't come alongside you in the way that they thought that you thought they would. Or you look around and you feel alone. You go, God, what I'm lamenting is that I want to have a kid and I can't. And everyone around me seems to be having kids. God, I want to have more success in my career. But all of my peers, they seem to be having success and I alone am not. Or you're going, why can't I move forward in this area when everyone else seems to be doing just fine? I keep falling into the same sin pattern over and over and over. And you just want to look at the world and go, hey, what about me? Do people see my pain and my grief? Do they see what's happening here? Because what David sees is he's going, God, I'm all alone. Nobody even cares. Now we know that's not true. We know it's not true for David because he's in a cave and most likely he's got at least a small band of men around him that are willing to fight and to die for him. We know that it's not actually true because he just left a city where an entire temple and town helped him escape and they all gave their lives in order to help David. He's not really alone. But in the darkness of grief, it sure feels that way. And David doesn't get concerned with going, hey, God, I know this isn't really true, but here's how I feel. He goes, no, God, this is how I feel. God, I want to be honest with you about it. If you've ever been through a season of lament where you feel all alone, or maybe it's that time where the people that you thought were going to be in your corner are all of a sudden no longer paying attention to you, and you're going, whoa, whoa, wait, these should be the people defending me, and they're not. It's not that they're attacking me. They're just not defending me. That is a whole different kind of darkness. I've been there. It's not a fun place to live at all. Well, what David does is he cries out to God, and this isn't a, well, God, they're all bad, and I've got all these enemies, and so you know what? I'm just going to just forget them and forget them too. No, David goes, God, I still need community. But God, this is how I feel right now, and I just want to be honest with you. Which is why in the next verse, he turns back to God. So then I pray to you, O Lord, I say, you are my place of refuge. You are all I really want in life. Notice here that David cries out to God and he says, God, with all these enemies coming against me, you are my refuge. God, I find refuge in you. Not in this cave that I am in. I mean, remember, he's on the run. He's in a cave, hungry, tired, frustrated, thirsty, a fugitive. And he says, my refuge doesn't come in this cave or in my relief from the pain that I am in. God, my refuge comes from you and you alone. You are my strength. You are my comfort. You are my hope. You see, that's not wishful thinking. That's expectant believing. Then in the midst of his pain, David can say, God, I find help in you. I find comfort in you. I find security in you. In the midst of my difficult thing, God, you are my refuge. So much so that he can say in the very next line, you are all that I really want in life. Let's be honest, that's a difficult posture to take in the middle of a lament. Because what I want to do in the middle of my lament is I want to cry out to God. And I'll go, okay, God, here's these enemies and here's those enemies and here's the whole situation that's going on. And so, God, I'm crying out to you, deal with it. God, would you handle this? And when I say that, what I mean is, God, take the pain away. God, take the problem away. God, I don't want to deal with this anymore. And so, God, would you just deal with that? And I don't want to feel this way anymore. And what I'm not saying in that moment is, God, you can give me all of this and you're still my life. You see, that's a hope in a God that is bigger than my present circumstance. That I don't go to God and say, take this away because I don't want to deal with the pain anymore. I say, God, here, would you deal with this, but do so in a way that makes me trust you even more. God, you alone are all I really want in life. Which means I can continue to wrestle and to grieve and to lament and to have the pain and still find hope in you. The hope doesn't come in the pain going away. The hope comes in finding God in the midst of it. That maybe, just maybe, what God is doing is through this season, he's going, hey, don't run from it. Press into it. Feel free to lament. Come and grieve, and you'll find me sitting there with you. You'll find me in the moment teaching you something that you could only learn if you go through this. That's the cry of David's heart in this lament. God, I've got some things that are coming at me, but I'm going to trust you with it. Your timing and your ways. But that doesn't mean we can't be honest with God and continue to go, and here's some things that I need help with. Because now David vacillates back to that. He goes back to it in verse 6. So rescue me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison so I can thank you. The godly will crowd around me, for you are good to me. You see, David goes, God, I trust you in the midst of this. But God, here's what I'm asking. I'm asking that you would rescue me from people, that you would relieve me from a situation, and that you would bring godly community around me. God, would you rescue me from people? Would you rescue me from my persecutors, those that are coming? God, I am asking you to rescue me from that. God, I just lost my job and I'd like another one. God, my boss is against me and I need him or her not to be. He's asking for some rescue from the people and relief from a situation. Bring me out of this prison. Now, David's in a cave. He's not in a literal prison here, right? He's using poetry, but he's going, listen, this sure does feel like a prison. Because there's a guy named Saul out there with an army that they're looking for me. And if I pop my head out of this cave for far too long, somebody's going to chop it off. And maybe you're going like, God, I'm not in a cave and I'm not in a prison, but I've got a cubicle. And if I stick my head out of that cubicle for far too long, somebody's going to take my job. Right? You can feel like we have these moments where we're going, God, I need relief from a situation. There is something that is happening. And so God, would you relieve me from that situation? But in the midst of doing it, would you surround me with godly community? Would you bring godly community in to speak your truth and your words and your wisdom to me? God, would you allow me to hear it? Would the godly gather around me and remind me that you are good? God, would you help me to find joy in what you're doing in their life while I don't feel joy in mine? And not only that, but God, as you bring the godly community, there's sort of two things here. One is that they come around and they help support you. The other is that God can use the present thing you're going through to help someone else when they go through it. And there's this idea of future thinking that David has here, that even in the midst of it, he's going, and God, on the other side of this, when I get through this, because my hope is in you, when I get through this, would you bring godly people around me that I can then speak truth into their life and say, hey, I've been there. I understand. I can empathize with you. Because it's so much better when you've been through it to then be able to help other people through. You can relate to them in a way that you couldn't have had you not gone through the hard thing. See, the hard things are where character is built. The hard places are where God comes in and refines you and makes you better. So maybe for you this week, you need to go, okay, God, there are some specific people that I need rescue from. And so you need to begin to just write their names down and call it out and say, God, would you rescue me from them? Not, God, deal with them, take them away. God, would you just rescue me? Would you help me to maybe see them in a different light, to view them differently? Would you allow me to be the spirit for them? God, but I need rescue. So just begin to ask God, trusting him that he can do it. Good God, here's the situation, God. I didn't know I was going to be. Maybe it's not even something that's been a season. Maybe it's just a text message you got this week. You feel like you need to just cry out. Instead of burying it, you go, God, here's the situation. God, I'm going to cry out to you first rather than complain to other people. So God, would you give me relief in this area? And if not, would you help me to trust you all the more? God, and in doing that, would you surround godly community? Would you bring people to me that maybe I don't even know that could just speak a word of encouragement to me? God, would you just put it on someone's heart to pray for me that I don't even know why they're praying for me? And God, would you just bring them to me? Let me see them. You see, in our seasons of lament, those are the things that we need. But while we're doing all of that, we need to continue to come back and do what David did, and that is putting hope in God. That through all of this honesty, what David does is he puts his hope in God. Not in the circumstance going away, not in Saul deciding I'm not going to kill him anymore. He goes, God, my hope is in you. See, what that tells me is we don't need to be afraid of the lament. David brings all of his emotions before God. And so when I'm sad or angry or confused or anxious, I can go, God, I'm going to cry those emotions out to you. The Psalms give me permission to bring all of that to you. It's not going to scare God. It's not going to affect him. And maybe it's the grief and the crying and the sadness. Maybe it's yelling at God. Maybe in your season of grief and lament, you're mad at God. Be mad at God. Yell at him. Call him out for that. Do it. We have lament Psalms like that. And if you're a parent and you've ever had your kid look at you and go, I hate you right now. You know, okay, that's honest. Doesn't affect my love for you. God loves us so much. He's going, bring all the emotions. Put your hope in me. This expectant believing that I can do things, that I can move in your life in a way that you never would have understood. And when I can put hope in God in that way, it means I get to come to God messy. You see, what I want to do sometimes in this moment of lament is I go like, okay, I feel all these things and I don't know what to do with them. And so I need to figure that out first. And I need to get feeling better. And I need to clean up the mess. And then I can come back to God and go, hey, God, I'm here. I'm all cleaned up for you. It's not at all what David does. David comes to him in the middle of it and goes, God, I got nothing. I told you that I went through a really bad breakup that broke my heart. That season for me was interesting because one day my heart was getting broken. And the very next day I had an accident that affected me physically. You see, my friends and I, we were playing a game called Cops and Robbers. I don't know if you've ever played this game before, but let me explain it to you a little bit. What happens is there's a group of us that would be on foot. It's played at night, and we're trying to go from our high school over to a playground on the other side of town. I grew up in a small Texas town. Yes, you can cross the entire town in one evening. And so the game was like, how do you get from point A to point B? And some of us are on foot, and other people are just safely with their seatbelts on driving the streets, looking for those and trying to catch us that are on foot, cops and robbers. And so we were playing this game. In hindsight, I don't totally recommend the game, but it was a fun game at the time. And so we're playing, and it's night, and I'm running through someone's front yard, and what I can't see is they've got a tree branch that comes down like this and keeps going. And so as I'm sprinting through their yard, I catch the tree branch with my forehead. Lays me out, just totally lays me flat on my back. I kind of come up a little bit, and I'm dazed and confused, and I'm walking around, and I do this, and you know how bad head wounds bleed, and so just blood just is immediately coming down, and one of the people that was a cop stops their car, and they're like, they can tell something's going on here, they caught me, and they go, and I'm like getting in their car, and I'm kind of woozy, and I start to get in, I was like, hey, everybody, just take me home, my mom and I'll clean it up a little bit, we'll throw some Band-Aids on it, like we're gonna be fine, we'll be good, like my heart was broken yesterday, I don't want to deal with anything, like take me home, my mom and I'll clean it up. That's when one of my friends looks at me and goes, Grant, we're taking you to the hospital. I can see your skull. And I was like, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's go to the hospital instead. I get there and they clean me up. The doctor told me that I would need to have plastic surgery if I ever wanted my forehead to look the right way again. I'm proud to tell you, I never had it. This is all natural, people. This is there's no work done here. This is all me. The thing in that moment was what I wanted to do was go, no. Let me clean up my mess and then we'll go get help. That's not what you do. When you're bleeding and you're hurting and you're overwhelmed, you don't need to try to clean up the mess and then go to the hospital. What you do is you go, let's just go straight to the hospital. Let's go there. Let's admit that I need help with this, that I can't do it on my own. My mom and I can't patch it up. We need some professional help here. You see, David understands that God is a God that loves us so much, we can come to him with all of who we are, every bit of our emotion, all of our mental, physical, psychological pain, everything that's going on, we can bring that to God. We don't have to be ashamed of it. We don't have to act like it's not there. We do not have to clean up to go to God. We just come messy because we have a hope in him. We have a hope that is certain that he can handle it and deal with it. And the reason is because he understands what it looks like to lament. You see, by the time you get to the New Testament, God has come, and he's come as a man named Jesus. And there's this moment right before Jesus is going to go to the cross to take on all of the pain of the world, where he sits in a garden and he cries out a prayer of lament. And he says, Father, if there is any other way to do this, let's do it that way. Because the impending thing that is coming for me overwhelms me. I don't know what to do. He cries out in so much distress that the blood vessels in his head burst with blood coming out because he is in such anguish over the pain that is coming. Jesus laments. And the Father says, you know there's no other way. This is why you came. And so Jesus goes to the cross, where he then takes on all of the pain of the world on him. All of the tears and the grief and the sorrow that you feel and are going through, he has felt. But 3 days later, he is risen. He rises from the dead, conquering it once and for all, which is why I can put my hope in him. Because I serve a God that has been to the anguish of lament like I have never been. And he beat it. He beat it through resurrection. And so you can come with all of your emotions, all of your feeling, all of your pain, and say, God, here's what's going on. I need your help. You can cry out to him in those moments. He is a trustworthy God. He knows exactly what you're going through. It's not a surprise to him. And if we would cry out, he would meet us there, and we can trust him with it.